Good morning, Charlottesville, and welcome to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie. We're glad you're with us on this Saturday morning, and I hope your weekend is off to a great start. As many of you are aware, and if you're not, hopefully this show will help make you aware, we're just right around the corner from Election Day here in the local area. Obviously, it's an off-year election. There's not a great deal going on, or at least you wouldn't think there's a great deal going on. But in actuality, there really is. And so what I thought would be fun to do is to bring my friend Neil Williamson on the show from the Free Enterprise Forum and have him just kind of give us an overview of all the different things that are sort of percolating out there and have been percolating out there. I mean, some of these things have been percolating out there for 40 years. You think about the Meadow Creek Parkway. Folks have heard me on the show before say that I left here in 1983, after having been at the university and hearing about the Meadow Creek Parkway and then working, and I moved to Northern Virginia, and I come back 22 years later to become the CEO and principal broker of Roy Wheeler. And the first headline I see is in regards to the proposed Meadowbrook Parkway. So things oftentimes take a great deal of time for things to be accomplished, and there are a number of those issues right now that are sort of at the forefront. Have momentum. We could very well see some of these things happening. And that, along with these elections, are what we're going to talk about today, because I think as we talk about this show, Real Estate Matters, it's named for that reason, that so many different things are centered around or initiated or motivated by real estate. Real estate values as it relates to taxes and tax revenue, people finding a home that they can live in that's affordable. Not being able to find a home that's affordable, different Landlord-Tenant Act type of things that cause people to have anguish over how they rent or how they lease. And then as we talk about just real estate, political issues that have to do with real estate, some of these things have long-term, can have long-term impact on the growth and the healthy growth of a community such as Charlottesville. So, Neil, welcome to the show. We're glad you're here.
Great to be with you, Michael. Good morning. It's great to be back to talk to you about all the things that impact individuals here and how real estate impacts all of us, whether you rent or own a home. Everything that we discuss has a dramatic personal impact to you as a citizen of the region.
You know, and it's interesting. I think where I'd like to kind of start, because there are always misnomers, and I've said this on the show before, and I've said it, publicly in other places, so I'm not afraid to repeat it. One of the most interesting things that's happened to me in the 6 years since I've been back in 2005 and been involved with our local realtor association, which you're very much involved with, which we appreciate your support and the things that you do to help us at CAR, is this Western Bypass, in my opinion, even more so than Meadow Creek Parkway, this Western Bypass, you could find as many realtors for it as are against it. And, oftentimes in the public affairs group that you and I have been a part of, me being the president of the association back in 2009, when an issue came about, we would figure out which side of the issue we were on, and we would do what we could do, 1,000 realtors strong, to help get the word out as to what we felt like was the best way for things to go. As I went through this whole Western Bypass discussion, I sat in on the public hearings because I really wanted to know what was happening, what people were being said. It was very interesting, the fact that we really never were able as realtors to kind of get behind something and make it happen, because it really was a contentious issue. And regardless of which side of the fence you're on, I think it's important to clear up a few misnomers so that those sort of arguments or objections are off the table. And one of those, Neil, is this whole aspect of where the road's going and as it pertains to homeowners' rights. Because a lot of people think a lot of people are going to lose their homes. What they don't realize is that land was bought 20-some years ago already.
That's correct. Actually, it's most of the land, and it's one of the things that is interesting about the bypass project, is that most of the property, in terms of number of parcels, was acquired about 18 years ago. VDOT has effectively been a landlord for that time frame. In addition, very nearby the proposed alignment has been constructed a school. The Agner Hurt School was constructed after the alignment was already on the books. and has been a part of the plan for a very long time. The vast majority of the number of parcels that are going to be associated with this this roadway have been acquired. Now, in terms of acreage, there are a couple of large acreages that are under single ownership that have not yet been acquired, but the majority of those are not owner-occupied.
So, I mean, basically what that means is that this isn't something that has been decided on, and now we got to go out and displace people, other than the people who are renting the properties that VDOT owns, and they'll obviously get ample notice, and this isn't going to happen tomorrow. And so, just like with any rental, a landlord decides that they're going to sell their property now. There is a lease, there's a legal document in place that allows the landlord to give substantive notice, and then the tenant obviously would need to find another place to live.
Right, and although I have not examined the leases, I would anticipate that as a landlord, VDOT had a caveat in their lease clearly stating this land was acquired for roadway construction, and at such time as that construction takes place, you will be displaced.
Right, right. So, you know, we're not here this morning to talk about whether you're for this road or against this road. I think it's just important for you to understand that there are different nuances to this that you need to be aware of, and certain objections that have been shared that may not actually be accurate. Or and you know, we were joking before the show. I was told a couple jokes about how to communicate with other people, and you know, so many times things are said and people just don't hear it the way it's meant to be said because they're listening, you know, from a different perspective. And I think it's important that we all sort of remember that we have two ears and only one mouth, and to listen to the issues and make a good decision based on those. And let's just, you know, let's talk about the Meadow Creek Parkway for a minute, and just kind of bring folks up to date as to where we are with that road. It sure seems like we're getting closer to actually seeing that empty out onto McIntyre Road sometime in the not too distant future.
Yes, the Meadow Creek Parkway projects, which are actually three separate projects with independent utility, is the term. The Meadow Creek Parkway portion, the county portion, is very close to completion. They have some minor issues to resolve. They've agreed not to open that road until such a time as either the city completes their portion or they change their mind. At one point, it was supposed to be 6 months differential between the projects. I am encouraged that the second project, which is McIntyre Road Extended, which goes from basically right there at Charlottesville High School on down, is under construction, is moving forward. There's been a slight change. What was going to be a culvert is now going to be a bridge, thus not requiring any kind of disturbance to the waterway, which in the grand scheme of things will mirror the very attractive bridge that's on the northern end of the county portion of the Meadow Creek Parkway. And then there's also the federally funded interchange project, which again is the third project. That project is actually in the midst of design, but also has a court challenge in front of it. I have been told that they will be hearing that court challenge in the next 6 weeks or so, and my guess is you may hear from the judge that's assigned to the case as early as perhaps March of next year. None of this has stopped any of the work. There was a petition to issue a stop order, and that petition was denied.
So if the interchange, obviously, with this delay is not going to be done, when the city does their portion that gets to McIntyre Road, they won't let that get open until they have the interchange, would they? I mean, wouldn't that create major problems to have that thing just run into that road and just have a four-way intersection?
Well, actually, the Free Enterprise Forum back in 2005 produced a study that showed that an at-grade interchange would work to a sustainable level. I think it was a C for the majority of the day. Up for another 15 years. That being said, no one wants to open and close a road.
Right.
And there'd be some pretty significant construction easements necessary for the interchange to be constructed. In a perfect world, all three projects would be completed in concert. We don't live in a perfect world, and I can't see the future.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, I know that the county portion, you know, got opened. Everybody kind of liked it. got closed, created major consternation with a number of people, including people riding their bikes and who were escorted off the property. I've heard that there's a possibility that that might open sooner just because of the pressure that, you know, folks want it to be open, but I don't think there's any official thing on that yet, is there?
There has not yet been any official word on that, but when the original agreement of opening them in concert came about, there was thought that there was a differential of the projects of about 6 months.
Right. We're talking with Neil Williamson from the Free Enterprise Forum. You're listening to News Radio 1070, WINA. You can listen to us live by going to WINA.com and clicking on Listen Live, or you can listen to the podcast at your leisure by clicking on podcasts, finding Real Estate Matters, and then clicking there, and then you can find an archive of all the shows from the last several months. And we look forward to you having a chance to perusing those and listening to things that you find of interest. We're going to take a break and allow New American Mortgage to share with you why they would love to have your business, whether you're refinancing or interested in buying a home. New American Mortgage is there for you, and they're there for us as our sponsor, and we're grateful to have them. Welcome back to Real Estate Matters. I'm Michael Guthrie, and we're glad you're here. Here with Neil Williamson from the Free Enterprise Forum, and we're talking about real estate issues, political issues that, you know, basically pertain to real estate. Before the break, we've chatted a little bit about the Western Bypass, the Meadow Creek Parkway, but I thought as we move forward here, it'd be kind of fun. We're just a few days away from the election, and in an off year, as we talked about right at the beginning of the show, oftentimes people think there's really nothing to vote for, so why go? And you were sharing that there are a couple contested races which will help those particular areas, but there really are a number of pertinent issues that are on the table, and the folks who end up getting voted in during this off year are going to have a place in making some decisions that long-term will impact all of us.
Yes, well, actually, in the wonkish world that I live in, this is termed an off-year election. What that mean by that is that there's no gubernatorial race. In an off-year election, there's no national race, but there's a gubernatorial race. Well, in this case, there are a lot of people already focused on the presidential race of 2012 and kind of leapfrogging over this this election day. We are looking at a opportunity for folks to really raise their hands and be counted in races that matter to them in their local community. I spoke of two different races. What happens in these local elections is when there's a whole lot of attention to one race, it tends to focus the voters and it brings them out. In our last off-year election, there were five candidates for sheriff in Greene County. Greene County led the way. I believe it was 63% of registered voters came out because there were five candidates for the sheriff's office. Now, in that race, the eventual winner was Scott Haas, who is now retiring after 8 years of service. And there is a contentious two-way race. And so I anticipate seeing that same 60% kind of number because there's a lot of attention being generated. In the region, when you look statewide, there are a number of folks that are running uncontested. They're out there. They're trying to raise some awareness of what they're doing in the General Assembly, Rob Bell being one, David Toscano another. They don't have an opponent. There's really no candidate forums, et cetera. It allows an opening for folks to really get educated about the local races, the Board of Supervisors races, the city council races. Another locality that's going to see strong voter turnout, I imagine, is Louisa. There is a 24-year veteran treasurer who is retiring, and there are a number of folks vying for that opportunity. Louisa, just as Charlottesville and Albemarle, has changed a lot in 24 years, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But when you look at Charlottesville-Albemarle, I happened to pull some of the 2007 election data, and we saw voter turnout when you did have contested races at the state level still under 50%, meaning over half of the folks that have been good citizens and registered to vote chose not to go to the polls. Now, the one thing that folks may remember, long lines at the polls, et cetera, I can virtually guarantee you, you will not have a long line at the polls this time around, even if you're in Greene or Louisa. The polling places, because of the census, have been re-established. Some folks have been moved to new polling places. If you got a new voter card in the mail, check your polling place. It may have changed. You may have been redistricted. If you live in Pretty Creek in Greene County, you're now part of the new Rutgersville district, and there are four candidates running for that seat. It's important to take a look and see where you're going, because it may not be you're going to the same firehouse or school that you went to in the past. You may be going to a different location. So check your voter registration card. The registrars are there to help you. If you have questions, you can call them on Monday, and they will be more than happy to help you out.
Woodbrook Elementary, is that this time or next time in regards to that? Because I know the redistricting of that particular...
That's this time.
Yeah.
This time, Woodbrook Elementary will have the opportunity to vote for David Toscano. They won't really have much of an opportunity to vote for his opponent since he's running unopposed, but David has reached out to them and had a very positive meeting, I understand, with those folks not too long ago now.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that both Rob Bell and David Toscano, if you're not aware, Rob's a Republican, David's a Democrat, and yet they're, I think, in my opinion, great examples of folks who look toward the middle and try to look at issues from both points of view. And I think it, to me, it sort of affirms and confirms that when you really work hard to represent the folks that have sent you into office by listening to both sides and trying to work for the good and finding what's best for everybody, people appreciate it. And in this situation, I'm guessing they're running unopposed because nobody felt like they could beat them.
That would generally be or there wasn't a candidate that was willing to come forward at this time. There may be another time for another person to come forward in that realm. But these off year elections, because you have fewer voters, your vote is even more important. In looking at a race, an at-large race, a countywide race in one of the outlying counties, there were three candidates in that race, and the top two candidates got the seats. The difference between the second and third candidate was less than 200 votes. Your vote matters, and it matters a great deal on these local races.
Tell me, we're talking about the local races. What other sort of issues, as people are listening to this show, they may not be from Albemarle, they may not be from the city, they may be in Louisa or Flavana. What issues are sort of bubbling up there that these folks are going to have a major impact on and voting for as we move along? I mean, my initial thought as I think about Flavana County and the fact that they haven't had a tax assessment for several years, and that's needing to happen. Well, anybody that's been in Charlottesville, and hopefully anybody that's been listening to the show, knows that over the last few years, property values have not gone up. You know, in most places, in most jurisdictions, they've gone down. That being the case, tax assessment comes in, it's a lower value, tax revenue is less. You have an issue now of not having enough money. Do you raise the tax rate? And I think that's what Flavana is dealing with right now, as well as, you know, building this new high school and how to pay for that. But what other issues are you seeing that are important for people to be paying attention to, depending on where they are?
Well, after conducting candidate forums in all of the jurisdictions, I can say that the key issues that you've touched on, one is the economy, and taxes are a part of that, and the tax burden. But in addition, the vision that the candidates project for the future, whether they project more of a bedroom community, a little quieter, more rural, whether they project the idea of economic development focused in one area, perhaps they have a vision of a county-owned business park. Whatever their vision for the future is one of those key elements to what's going on. The other is really land use. When you look at Board of Supervisors and City Council, you're talking about land use policy and how they see their community, our communities, moving forward. Whether or not they wish to see rezone some land to be more business. Maybe they want to see more of the rural areas regulated more tightly. I was in a meeting last week with Albemarle County where they mentioned, someone mentioned the idea that we really need rural preservation tools that have teeth to make sure that everybody doesn't do what they need to do in order to make it economically sustainable. It's interesting, in next week and the first week in November, there's going to be a roundtable of agricultural interests that are going to be talking about the update to the comprehensive plans. These are the very guides that we use, localities use to create ordinances. And one of the topics that has come up again and again and again in Albemarle County, whether or not the many wineries that Albemarle County has should have the ability to have a restaurant. It's a fascinating question, and the reasons for it and against it are very compelling. I think that really anything you can do to make the very land serve as the purpose. People forget the number one industry in the state of Virginia is agriculture. Number one by far. And the current administration, the McDonnell administration, really has embraced that with Secretary Todd Haymore. And they have been storming not only the state, but all the way around the globe, speaking of the assets that they, the natural resources that we have here, including wines that are being exported all the way around the world.
You know, it's interesting, Neil, and in our last couple minutes here, you work for the Free Enterprise Forum. A lot of folks may not know what that is. Why don't you just kind of chat just a little bit about what the mission is for this particular group and the website and the blog, because folks, if you want to, outside of Free Enterprise Forum, I think the next thing I would suggest is Charlottesville Tomorrow. If you're not tracking Charlottesville Tomorrow with Brian and his group and Free Enterprise Forum with Neil, you're missing out on really understanding some specific things that are going on and being much better educated as to what the issues are. So talk just real quick about Free Enterprise Forum, the website, and the best way to contact you.
Sure. Well, the Free Enterprise Forum is a privately funded public policy organization focused on local governments. We cover five counties and the city of Charlottesville. It's funny you mentioned Charlottesville Tomorrow. Charlottesville Tomorrow often considers themselves somewhat the C-SPAN of Charlottesville. If they're the C-SPAN, I'm perhaps the Heritage Foundation, a think tank. We have opinions. We're not afraid to share them. And that's what I encourage people to go to the blog, which can be found at www.freeenterpriseforum.org. And you can learn all about the organization, where we came from, how we're here. And you can read probably about 3 years now worth of posts about local policy and how these local elections are going to directly impact your life today and tomorrow.
Well, Neil, thank you so much for being on the show. There's always so much to talk about. Great to have you back in again. I know we've chatted once before on the show. I look forward to having you again in the future. Let's hope that people do get out and vote and pay attention to the issues and be able to make educated decisions by looking at the Free Enterprise Forum and basically by getting engaged and involved and coming to these meetings and not just listening to what your neighbor says, but trying to understand the issues and making decisions for yourself. Unfortunately, our time's up. Folks, as always, I thank you for your time, and I hope you have a great Saturday. Go Hoos.